Amen. That's a beautiful song. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Let me give you some introductory information, introductory stuff for this regarding this thought tonight. And stay there in Philippians 4. We'll be in Philippians 4 this whole evening. Might go back to Philippians 3 in just a second. We live in a what's called an information society. And you can get information as fast as you want it now. Faster than man has ever been able to receive information. It used to be a letter, and about as fast as a horse could go is about how long it'd take for you to get information. I read and I almost laugh when you think about how American history tells us how during presidential elections, sometimes some part of this country wouldn't even know who won the presidency of the United States of America until 4 days after the fact. Because that's about as fast as the Pony Express could get that information out there to the West. And as you think about it now, when, of course, the primary going on now, an election coming in November, you already know it's coming, first Tuesday of November, Katie Couric and all them liberal yahoos will be sitting at a desk, and as soon as they get reports, they'll be telling you what precincts, what percentage is in, they're ready to call it this state for Obama, this state for, God help us if we hear that, amen. But anyway, this state for so-and-so, whoever, and by the way, it's scary who's the Republican candidate. I mean, I'm glad I know who Jesus is, amen. You look at today, and you look at this day and age, and I was with the youth pastor, a good friend of mine last week, and he has some health problems. He has a brain tumor the size of a fist in his head, and he's had it for years. And the doctor told him he's just literally just 1 minute away from just keeling over and dying. And they want to look at his brain every about 6 months. Of course, he can't afford it, so he goes in at least once a year, and they look at it, and it's been the same for years. And the doctor told him, he says, there's two things you've got to stop in order for the tumor to actually, you know, shrink. It stayed the same all these years, but you need to get more rest, and you need to not have any stress in your life. Well, he said, Doc, I'm in the ministry, so those two things are not possible. And then he and I actually had this conversation. We were traveling a little bit together this past week to the airports and so on, and I was thinking about how Christianity in history, and you think about what Christians had gone through in the past, the threat of life for preaching the gospel. You know the story I've told you many times before about how they believed you had to baptize babies. And if you didn't baptize your babies, a Baptist preacher, and a Baptist they called you, which means rebaptizers. They thought you rebaptized your kids when they got older. Well, when you rebaptize, we baptize them after they get saved. Amen. But they would take the baby and say, you don't believe in baptism, and they would baptize the baby for you by throwing your baby into a river, and you'd stand there and watch it drown. And many people say, I couldn't handle that. I mean, that would just imagine that. But they also didn't get bombarded with information like we do nowadays. They dealt with things one by one. And I never bring my phone to church. I don't bring it. I have an iPhone 4 here. And I'm going to read some quotes from it that I had jotted down. I never bring it into church. Don't worry, it's on silent. But I think. But nobody's going to call me because they all know I'm in church tonight. But in this phone alone, there's all kinds of free apps. I can look at my main screen, and I have 4 news apps. And at the push of a button, I can read what happened 5 minutes ago anywhere in this world. Actually, 2 minutes ago in this world. Is that too much? I don't think God designed our minds to be able to handle that much information, yet God knew that it would happen someday, and God made sure to put some things in the Bible to equip our mind. You see, animals don't deal with a whole lot of stress. The main stress of an animal's life every day is to find food. An animal wants food. I don't care if you're a bird looking for an earthworm, or you're a tiger right now in Asia looking for an antelope or a deer or whatever they're going to eat. It doesn't matter. They wake up, and they are determined to find food for that day. But the mind of a human is different. It's very different. We deal with things differently. Our mind can handle so much. And I do believe not all minds are created equal. I don't believe all minds are created. I think some minds can handle more than others. I think some people have big minds and some people have very small minds. I think some people have minds that can handle a whole lot of information. I think about these computer guys in this church. Every time Hugh even talks about computers, all I hear is... That's what I hear because I'm not a computer guy. Or I get around these builders and Tim Klink and these guys talk about building. That's what I hear. I don't hear, I hear like, you know, nails pounding. That's all I hear. You know, that's all I hear. Everybody's got their different capacities and limitations and all that. But God knew that the Christian would have this struggle as we head down to the end of the days and the last days in the world. So God said, I want to talk about the mind and the heart. Now, number one, I want you to notice there's a couple things. I want to give you four things that kind of guide us through this message tonight, and I'll be done. Number one, we have to see that there is a difference between the hearts and the minds. The hearts and the minds. God actually specifically put that in there different. One preacher said it like this, and I kind of like this idea. The heart is the spiritual mind, while your mind is the physical mind. Okay, the heart. Now, when God says heart, he doesn't obviously, he's not talking, because when he says the heart believeth unto salvation, we understand that the actual physical organ heart doesn't, it pumps blood. But God also knew that the heart is the life of our soul, the life of our body. And the heart, in many definitions in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, in the Greek and the Hebrew, as you look at the word heart, you'll see it means the will or the emotion or the seat of man's feelings. So it is a spiritual mind. That's why you can believe in a salvation with your heart. That's why I love it how a five-year-old who doesn't quite understand that maybe 5 times 5 is 25 can believe that a bloody Jew hung on a cross 2,000 years ago, and they can trust that. My wife was 4 years old, and she understood that long before she ever heard of the quadratic formula. Amen. She understood that before she ever learned the law of sine or cosine. I don't even know if she ever made it to that in her Christian school. But she understood that. Why? Because the heart, the belief of the heart is so powerful. So powerful that even a child can say, I want Jesus. All right. Now, hearts and minds. Look at verse number 7 again. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Understanding is mind terminology. The secular mind, the lost mind, says there's no way you can go through what you've been through and still have that peace. I don't want to keep bringing it up, but it's just a fact. And by the way, I got to brag on their son last Wednesday night and Thursday on his birthday and the day after his birthday. And I think isn't he had some influence on those two young men getting saved. The Millers can testify, verse 7, they have experienced the peace of God that passeth the understanding of man. Lost people, their lost family members can testify. And some have gotten saved because they said, how? And by the way, this world needs to see some Christians that live a life where they actually look at you and say, how? Here's how, because of God's peace. All right, passeth all understanding. Look at this. By the way, it doesn't pass some understanding. It passeth all understanding. So I don't care if you have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or a PhD. You don't understand the peace of God here. You understand it here first. All right, now watch this. The Bible goes on and says this. Shall, the peace of God shall. Brother George, that's a guarantee word, isn't it? Brother George loves to talk about the comparison of shall and will, and it's a great thought. Shall, guarantee, keep your what? Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now watch, notice the direction of there, okay? God's very particular about directions, all right? Go to 1 Thessalonians 5 real quick. Let me show you something about direction. In order here. God is very particular about the order he puts words in their Bible. Amen. Verse 23. The Bible talks about in verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians 5. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God you're whole. All right. I'm sorry. Let me wait. Make sure y'all get there. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Alphabetically, it should be body, soul, and spirit, but God said that's not the order I wanted in. God is particular about his order and his direction. It's spirit. That's the vessel or channel by which the Holy Spirit of God can work through you. The soul, that's what makes you who you are. That's the part of you that got saved so that the spirit could conduce through your soul. And then the body needs to, it's like this. Jesus needs to be driving. Your spirit needs to be in the front seat. Your soul needs to be in the back seat and put the body in the trunk. Can I get an amen right there? All right. Most bodies can fit in a trunk. Maybe not these two up here, but most bodies can fit in a trunk. Now let's go back to Philippians 4. You see God's order. God says hearts. It shall keep your hearts and minds. Now, number one, hearts and minds. Number two, I want you to notice direction. The direction. I already mentioned that a little bit, but direction, okay? Satan, the devil, is always contrary to God. Always. God says, don't eat of the fruit in Genesis. The devil said, really? Yea, hath God said? Hey, why don't you try it? It's not going to hurt you. Here's the deal. God's just trying to hide something from you. If you eat of that fruit, you'll be as a God, knowing good and evil. Boy, he flaunted with her mind, and she forgot what she had heard with her heart. Now watch this now. God works from heart to mind. The devil works from mind to heart. God works from heart to mind, and the devil works from mind to heart. Don't miss that. I'm going to say that one more time. Don't miss that. God works from heart first to mind. The devil works opposite from mind to heart. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 6 and on through there, it talks about how the men of those days, their thoughts and imaginations were continually evil. And God said, that's it, I've got to bring down judgment. And the flood came. And of course, you know the story, the Tower of Babel, and God had to take care of that and confound the language of the men. It's amazing that God gifted man with a mind. It's powerful. Do you understand the mind of a man is still more complex than the most incredible computer in the world today? I mean, they still get, you know why? Because man made computers, but God made the mind. Brother Nick's doing a little study on that. Ask him about memory and recalling things from memory. How your mind has got more files than a computer could ever have. Because God made the mind. If you're a computer expert, you want to challenge that, don't tell me about it. Just go talk to Hugh, because it's just... Alright? And by the way, God don't need Windows or Mac for your mind. Can I get an amen right there? Alright, God made the mind, the computer mind of a man, long before Bill Gates ever came on the scene. Now watch this now, okay? Or Steve Jobs. Now watch this now, okay? God sees mind, man, progress. He sees it goes. God saw it in Genesis take off and explode. Think about it. Egyptians building the pyramids. How in the world did they build those pyramids? How in the world did they design those amazing things? Not spiritual men, not saved men, people that didn't even follow the Old Testament law, yet they did incredible things. And God has seen that. And the book of Daniel says that there's going to be a time when the mind of man is going to exceed anything that ever dreamed. And we're here, church. You understand that in the last 100 years, more progress has been made by the mind of man than the previous 5,900 years. Of course, God stopped some of that on several occasions. I think God allowed nations to rise, and then he allowed them to fall because those nations are about to go to that next level because it wasn't time yet. We're there. Four different buttons I can push, and I can get four website news information right here. The little thing, circle, circles, boom, I've got all the updated news to that minute right there. It'll actually say updated 1 minute ago. USA Today, Drudge Report, JerusalemPost.com, and I have the Wall Street Journal on my phone. I look at those pretty regularly. Probably shouldn't look at them as much as I do. Can our mind handle that? So here's what's happened today. God works with the heart of man. When Jesus came, the reason he was so popular at first was because he spoke to the heart while the law spoke to the mind. Okay? Now, by the way, that doesn't mean God's going in the same direction as the devil, because the law was more of a mind observation. But it didn't really go to your heart. The law wasn't supposed to go to your heart. The law wasn't a heart thing. The law was more of a mind thing. This is how you behave. This is how you don't behave. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. That's the law. Jesus came and he preached, and the Bible says he spake with authority like no man ever spake before, the Bible says. And the common man heard him. You know why? The common man can understand heart language a whole lot more than he can mind language. We got a lot of preachers today. They have PhDs and they have Dr. Big Bottoms, and they're able to speak and impress the intellectual crowd. They call it the intellectual crowd. Jesus was the wisest mind that ever lived, smarter than any of those intellectuals all put together. But when he preached, he made sure that the common man could hear him with his heart and say, wow, he makes so much sense, because Jesus spoke to the heart. Romans chapter 10, it does not say believe with your mind. It says believe with your heart. It says that with confession, then you confess it. But it starts right here. God speaks to the heart, goes to the mind. The devil says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bombard your mind with entertainment. I'm going to bombard your mind with wickedness. I'm going to bombard your mind when you walk through JCPenney's or even down a highway with billboards and half-naked women. Not just half-naked, almost totally naked women. Bombard your mind. And before long, we've got a corrupt heart. It's no wonder this country's going to hell. It's no wonder people are behaving like animals, because the devil has bombarded and blasted the mind of man almost to we just can't handle it anymore. Then you go to work and you hear bad news. Then you go to this place and you hear bad news. You go here and it's negative news, negative, 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 all the time. And before long, we can't handle it. The Lord smote my heart. Because sometimes I preach, and I want to apologize to you tonight, because sometimes I preach like, you know, this is crazy. Why you got to be discouraged all the time? Life's too short. Well, sometimes there is a legitimate reason for that. Now, again, I'll say what I said this morning. If you're still upset because you got an ingrown toenail 3 years ago, get over it, okay? I still stand by that statement. But at the same time, we got to be careful what we allow to come into our minds, because before long, it will affect our hearts. What are you saying, preach? That's why I'm saying we need to be careful with our kids watch and see. So we need to be careful what our kids listen to. Unsupervised iPods. What are you, nuts? Unsupervised internet? Let me tell you what I heard from two teenagers this last week. What they told me. You won't believe what I heard in my own ears. I thought, what? Deacon's sons? What? Doesn't he ever check up on your computer? Nope. Wow. Let me just say it publicly. You ever want to date my daughters when they're 40? I'm going to take your laptop or your computer and your iPhones to the computer experts and let them go through every file of your computer and tell me if you're clean. Boy, that's, amen, preach that good stuff right there. Because the devil says, I want to get to your mind. I'm going to bombard your ears. I'm going to bombard your eyes. Before long, the heart becomes wicked and wretched and callous and seared. You know why we can't shout in church anymore? Because we've been shouting from our mind all week long in a dumb ball game or American Idol or Dancing with the Stars or Saturday Night Live. Those things, they appeal to our minds. When we come to church, somebody preaches and somebody sings. We sit here looking like a calf at a new gate. We're dead. We've become callous. And the devil's like, yes, I've got their mind. See, the devil can't get the heart of salvation. He can't get the heart of a saved person. Amen? Jesus has got that. But he sure can influence that heart through the mind. And Jesus says, I don't work that way. I'm going to go to your heart first and then to your mind. So don't miss that direction now, okay? Now, look at statement number 3. The mind is a learner while the heart is more of a feeler. The mind is a learner. Well, the heart is more of a feeler. I'm going to prove that to you. Look here. Let's look at a few verses here. Let's look at verse number 8 of Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read down here a few verses. And then we'll be done just briefly. Thank you for your attention. Verse 8. Right after verse 7, Paul says, it's finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. I love when God uses the word things. Bible college professor, teacher said, when you preach, never say things. It's too general. Be specific. And I come reading the Bible, man, God loved to use the word things. You know why he puts things in here? Because look at this. What sort of things are true? Whoa. You know how long you could preach on a Sunday night series on just true things? I could pass out paper tonight and have you list true things, and everybody's going to come up with a different thing that's true than that. I was asking my family this the other night. What's a true thing? I was talking to my wife about that. That's just one, by the way. What sort of things are honest? Well, forget Washington, D.C. Amen. What sort of things are just? Whatsoever things are pure? Whatsoever things are lovely. By the way, so far it looks like my family can fit in a lot of those. Whatsoever things are of good report. So much for CNN. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise. Okay, what's the next word? What? Think on these things. So the word think shows up a lot in here and then the word think shows up. You don't think with your heart, you think with more of your mind. The heart is a spiritual mind, but it's more the seat of emotion, it's the will. You believe in salvation, but the Bible here is talking about a mind thing. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. There's a balance there. Now, all right, let's continue to read verse 9. Those things, there's that word things again. Appreciate you, Paul. Which he had, be more specific, Paul. Trust me, I'm glad he wasn't, or this Philippians would be about 20 chapters. Amen. All right, but anyway. Those things which ye have both learned. You know Christians are going to learn some things? You got to learn some things. You're going to learn some things with your mind as long as you keep your heart right. You keep the heart right. Look at this. And received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, I'll go, you hear the peace of God, now it's the God of peace. What's the difference there? Mind and heart. The peace of God, hearts and minds, God of peace, he's the one that's with you. When you think about that, now you think about that, it's going to speak to your heart. Meditation starts with the heart and goes to the mind. I love the Old Testament saints. They emphasize the word meditate. We don't have meditation nowadays. I preached to the teenagers last week, and I said, we don't know what it's like to be quiet anymore. You want proof? Here we go. Don't look at me funny. Some of you are thinking right now, somebody say something. The average American would go crazy if their radio or CD player died. They got to get in the car and immediately turn that radio on. They got to have that noise. The quiet time. Meditation's gone. And by the way, we're so used to that because we got to keep our minds occupied. Amusement. That's against musing. While I was musing, the fire burned. We're supposed to think. We're supposed to use this mind in the right way. Verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. And whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He's saying, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm full, it's not going to affect my mind because my heart is right this whole time. I can't control that. I got a quote. I got a preacher friend that sends me a quote every Wednesday. And he sent me a quote last Wednesday after I landed in Milwaukee and I turned my phone back on. And he sends a quote or thought of the week. I love this. He says, you can't control what life throws at you, but you can control how you catch it. A lot of truth to that. You can't control what life throws at you, but you can control how you catch it. Now, the difference between one that says, oh, my goodness, life threw this hardball at me. I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm done. I hear that from some people all the time. I'm quitting. I'm done. Oh, no, never mind. I changed my mind again. No, I changed my mind again. The reason I hear that a lot is because we don't know how to handle that hardball. It's not your fault. You just haven't learned yet. We haven't been taught that in the Bible. The Bible actually teaches you how to do that. So when that hardball comes, what do you got to do? If your heart is right, your mind's going to learn from previous hardballs how to handle it because the heart stays right. Heart first, then mind. Heart first, then mind. Because the devil's still going to come at the Christian to the mind. He's not going to come to your heart. He's going to come at your mind. He's going to come bombard your mind. He's going to harass your mind. He's going to try to defeat you in your mind, because if he defeats you in your mind, then your heart. But if your heart is right, because you've been in this book and you've let God speak to your heart and speak to your heart through preaching, through meditation, through the Bible, through good music, through prayer, through devotions, through those kind of things, through a good marriage, through a strong home. And when God has that heart strong, no matter what the devil throws at your mind, you're going to be able to take that and learn from it. And it makes a huge difference in your life. Huge difference. So tonight, I introduce you to hearts and minds. Number two, I introduce you to direction. God works the heart first, then the mind, and then it goes to the mind. The devil works from the mind down to the heart. Number three, the mind learns, the heart feels. And then, of course, you get to the goal, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a pretty powerful verse. There's that word things again. And not just that, all. Brother Nick taught a great Sunday school lesson this morning to teens about all. The thing for the teens this year is all in for him. That's good. All. My pastor, you say all means all, and that's all means. There's a lot of truth to that. All things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I can't do that. You're right. You can't do that unless your mind has been right and you've kept your heart right, and then you realize it's through Christ. Back to verse 7 again. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 13 again. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ. You know where Christ through goes through? It goes here to here. That's the through. Number four, and I'm done for tonight. The Christian's main job is to guard their heart and guard their mind. God gave Adam a garden. And God gave Adam one command regarding that garden. Actually, he gave him two commands. I apologize. Two commands. The first command was what? Dress it and keep it. He was responsible for that garden, right, Brother Samson? Then he told him about the fruit, right? God gave him something that he was responsible to keep. Adam messed up, didn't he? By the way, Adam messed up. I know we like to blame the women. We're going to continue to do it because it's fun and it makes us feel better. But Adam messed up. Adam messed up. And by the way, we've been messing up ever since, too. So let's not be too difficult or don't be too hard on Adam. We've messed up many times. I've messed up way more times than I'd like to admit. Look, church, your spiritual life is your garden that God gave you. God commands the Christian to keep your heart and keep your mind. What does that mean? That means I must be careful. I must be selective. I must be picky. I must seek wisdom on how to guard my heart and my mind. Let's go back to verse 7, which is verse 7 is the backbone verse or the heart verse to get to verse 13. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have the peace of God that can keep our hearts and minds. So, church, let me ask you a simple question tonight. Where is your mind right now? Some we tease, I've lost my mind. You know, the mind is a special gift from God. But there's a lot of things God gave man. It's so beautiful the devil has warped. Intimacy in marriage is a beautiful gift from God. Beautiful gift. I'm telling you, church, I'm just going to be open. I'm getting to where I don't even want to do weddings anymore. I mean, people call our church all the time because they want to get married in this beautiful building. And I always find out they're shacking up and living together. I mean, constantly. I mean, is there any more purity in America? Where is it? Where is it where a man and a woman actually live separate from each other in America anymore and they wait till they get married? I mean, because the devil's taken that, worked it on your mind, and worked on that 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 mind. Now it's gone so bad now that man can marry a man, woman can marry a woman, and now there's even Yahoo saying we ought to get to where a man can marry a dog if he wants to marry his dog. You're sick if you want to marry your dog. Something bad wrong with America today. It's how we're living nowadays. I read an article several months ago. Some woman wants to marry her parakeet. Seriously. She ought to really sue her brain for non-support. Notice I said brain. That's the generation in which we're living. But while they choose to live that way and let the devil infiltrate their mind, I don't have to be that way. There's a safe haven that you hold in your lap right here tonight. This is not just the Word of God. Catch this and I'm done. It's the heart and the mind of God. So I hope you come Sunday evenings with an open heart and an open mind. Notice the order as God teaches us some things so that we can get to verse 13 and actually understand what Paul really meant when he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Father, we love you. Thank you for this truth. Speak to hearts now. This invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads about, eyes are closed.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing. For prosperity, we pray your mighty hand to ease our suffering, and all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea. And long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds our heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. 'Cause what if your blessings come from raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can satisfy? And if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?